old way of what? Obeying the letters of the law. I want us to read that. We cannot serve God in the old way of what? I want to, everybody to read that with me. We cannot serve God with what? In the old way of obeying the letters. I want us to read it again. Let's go. We cannot, in the old way of, I want us to read it louder. I want to go. Let's go. So how do we serve God now? But in the new way of living this way. It should be clear to every Christian. It should be very clear to you. You must listen to the Spirit of God. It should be clear to us that the Bible teaches that we cannot serve God in the old method, in the old system, in the Old Testament way of obeying the letters of the law that Moses brought, that there is a new way to serve God. It is through the new life that Jesus Christ gave us. And that's what we've been emphasizing, that this new life came to us when we came to Christ, that the old life we had came to us when we were born in the labor room by our parents, and that this life we received was given to us only when we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. No man can create this life for himself. You can't get it any other way. It's a gift that God gave. Jesus is a gift, brethren. The Lord asked me, he said, can any man give himself grace? He said, can any man give himself grace? Can any man offer himself grace? I've never had it before. You answer it. He said, can any man give himself grace? Can any man say, I'm showing mercy on myself? Can any man say, I'm showing goodness, I'm forgiving myself sins? Only God can do that. Only God can do that. That's why we talk about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's only the one that can give us grace. And the grace he gave us, he gave us his life. It's a gift of God. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift. But what? You know, the church does not read that second part. It's not popular. They want to intimidate people. Listen to me. You cannot legislate morality. It doesn't work. You can't get people behave well by simple moral laws and rules. It has never worked. We never work. It doesn't work at all. For the wages of sin is death. But the second one we must also read. But the gift of who? Of God is what? Eternal life. Through the gift of God. A gift is what you do not pay for. The gift of God. The gift of God. No man can show himself grace. Grace is from God. And if it's grace, it's not what you do. It's not what I do. It's what the person giving us grace is doing for us free. It's not what we do. The gift of God is a gift that God gives. A gift is a gift. It's eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It cannot be purchased. You can't. There's no other way. God just receive it as a gift. You can't purchase it. In Acts chapter 8, verse 20. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee. Thy money perish with thee. Why? Because thou hast taught that what? The gift of God may be what? Purchased with money. Now remove money and tell me other things you want to purchase the gift of God with. Remove money. Tell me. There are many things we do. We think we purchase it with it. Think you become so good now, you're good, your own righteousness, we pay for what is a gift. Peter said, your money perish with you. And then verse 21. Thou hast neither part or lot what? In this matter. For thy heart is not right in the sight of God. See, you don't have part in this thing. You just don't belong here. God is not doing contract business. That's why he told me about this school. He said, I'm not a businessman. He said, why do you read in the Bible that I'm a businessman? God is not a businessman. He's not a contract. God is not giving us contract. God is giving us covenant. So, this life that is called the new life, focus is everything. That's why we sang that song, look to Jesus and live. Look to Jesus and live. Focus is everything. Since it's not my grace, since it's not your grace, then we have to focus on the giver of this grace. We have to focus on the source. We must focus on the giver of this grace. We must do that. Since it's not my grace, it's not your grace, and I'm not the one giving you, you're not the one giving me, we're not giving ourselves, then we have to focus on the giver of this grace. We have to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Hebrews 12 is telling us. Hebrews 12 from verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a large, Hebrews 12 verse 1, wherefore, I'm reading New Living Translation. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of what? Witnesses to the life of faith. Did you see what they call this new life? It's called a life of what? Faith. It's a life of faith. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down. We talked about it last Sunday. This weight we carry, the worries and the things of this world. And you know this weight, we also solve it by focus. Because the Bible says that, God says that God will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is what? Set on him. So if you focus on the giver of grace, by the work of grace, he'll keep your heart in perfect peace, even in the midst of turmoil. Even when things don't look good, he will keep your heart in perfect peace. So we dealt with that last Sunday. But he says, and then he says, every way that slows us down, especially the sin now that so easily trips us off. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And how do we run that race? It tells us exactly how we run that race. We do this by keeping our eyes on who? On Jesus, who is the champion and who initiates and perfects our faith. Now remember that it's a life of faith. So we need to look up to the source of this faith, the source of this activity, the source of this thing we are received that we need to believe. We need to look, because it's not coming from people. You can't get it from anybody. You can't get it from yourself. So you've got to look at where it's coming. When you look at where you're coming, you see it. So you now know what to believe that he's giving you. You know what he's to believe that he's giving you, that he has given you, and what he's doing in your life. So he said, look to the source. Look to the source. Look to the source. Isaiah 45, 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ends of the earth. For I am what? And God. And there is none. Continue. I have sworn by myself. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. That unto me every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall swear. The next, surely shall one say, in the Lord only. In the Lord only I have I what? Righteousness and what else? Strength. Even to him shall men come. And all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. That's what the scripture says. Only those who believe in him will not be ashamed. But those who don't want to trust him, who think they have some other things to bring, say they'll be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be what? Justified and shall glory. Only in him we glory. Only in him we are justified. Only in him. Only in the Lord Jesus Christ. God said, I have sworn. He said, look unto me, all you ends of the earth, and be saved. Deliver from your sin. Deliver from everything. I'm the Lord your deliverer. I'm the source of it. I'm the source of this life that is free. John 6, 20, 63. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes what? Nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Now, dealing with the sin that very easily besets us now, let me tell you something. Because in the body of Christ, there is not too much understanding of the acts of grace and the mercies of God. There's not too much focus on the cross. There's not too much faith in Christ Jesus as such and what he accomplished on the cross. People have brought the law and dressed it up as grace, putting people in charge of their life and pushing people to do what only Christ can do. Pushing people, obey, be holy, be this one, be that one. For God's sake, they cannot produce grace. Paul said, I am what I am by what? Grace of God. They can't produce grace. We're forcing and pushing. And people are failing and failing and failing. That's why 15 years as a Christian, the same things that used to be bind people are still binding them. There's no change. There's nothing. And they don't know the answer to it. And we come around and say, only Jesus can save. Hallelujah. Only Jesus can save. Hallelujah. Only Jesus can. And we push him aside and bring back the law to people, disguised as grace. On Thursday, I was talking. Actually, the Lord gave me this scripture on my bed. He said, a pregnant woman has come to deliver. There's no strength to what? To deliver. He said, many Christians are like that. They have all these good wishes and all these good things, but they can't deliver it. They can't. For without Jesus, we can do nothing. We're trying to deliver. Good, yeah, we should live holy. Yeah, good, yeah, intentions, yeah, will, yeah. But it's like pregnancy, but you can't bat it up. Because you can't neglect the power that bats it. The source of life himself is Christ. You can't. Nothing was created without him. Nothing was done without him. He said, without me, you can't bat anything. But we push him aside. We don't focus on him. From whom comes life? Strength to bat it. From who comes wisdom to bat it. Somebody shout hallelujah. We neglect him and we want to bat it. So in dealing with sin that so easily besets us, we've had a lot of encouragement to go back and repent. Go back and do this. Do you know repentance is of God? Do you know without God, you can't even repent? Read your Bible. Without God, you can't repent. Can't. Paul talked about people who are difficult in church. He said, deal with them gently. He said, pray for them so that God can give them repentance. God can open their heart and show them and reveal. If God doesn't give you revelation, you walk in darkness. You justify what you are doing. Except the Lord builds. Those that are building are what? Wasting their time. Focus on Jesus, the author and finisher of our life and faith. So in dealing with these things that so easily beset us, we don't employ our own grace. We have no grace that will make us what we are. It's still the grace of our Lord Jesus that will make us what we are. It's still that grace that works in us to destroy all those things and produce this life that is victorious in us. It's still in focus. Philippians 3:3. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. Remember, it says, we don't worship by obedience to the law. We worship by The life of the Spirit. Now, for we who worship by the Spirit of God, not by our own flesh, are the ones who are truly what? Circumcised. We rely, what do we rely on? I want to hear you. What do we rely on? What do we rely on? Let's read the last one together. We put no confidence in human effort. Because a man cannot show himself grace. Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should boast except. Galatians 6:14. New King James Version. But God forbid that I should what? Boast. Except where? In the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom the world has been what? Crucified to me. And what again happened? And I, through the cross. That's my boast. That's my confidence. What he did on the cross is where I was separated from my old nature, my old sinful nature. Well, I separated from the world and brought into his kingdom. That's where the separation took place. He said, that's my only boast, not in me, in Christ Jesus and the cross. Brethren, the answer to this sin, that any sin at all and the sin that so easily beset us, is the cross. It's Jesus and what he did on the cross. Romans 8:3. For what the law could not do. You see why the Bible says we don't serve him by obedience to the law? The law cannot set you free. The law has no freedom to offer. Only Jesus brought us freedom, brethren. The law of Moses brought nobody freedom at all. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. Sent him in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He came for sin. Church, he came for sin. Condemned sin in the flesh. He came to deal with sin from its root and anywhere it's found. Jesus said the answer. Let me repeat it. There is no freedom anywhere except what did. That's what Jesus said to the Jews. Now, if the Son shall set you free, then you are what? So all those sins that we struggle with and all these things, it's only the Son that sets free from them. And he has really set us free. He brought us complete freedom from all of them. That's why we rely on what he did. 1 John 5:4. I want to read Weymouth translation. I don't know if you have Weymouth. You may not have Weymouth. But I will read Weymouth translation. Okay, let's read New Living Translation. Then I read Weymouth. For every child of God defeats what? This evil world. Are we still here? Have you gone home? If you are home, come back. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's read this together. One, two, go. Every child of God, what? Defeats this evil world. Wait, stop. Some children of God, right? How many people? Every child of God defeats what? This evil world. And we achieve this victory how? Prophet. So there's no pushing you to go and do something. You have no grace to make you what you should be. You depend on the grace of God. You depend on what Christ has done. You put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You put your faith squarely on Christ. That's how you defeat sin, defeat the devil, defeat all these things. Every child of God defeats this evil world. And we achieve this victory only through our faith in Christ Jesus. For those that trust in him shall not be put to... Simple as that. You don't need more activities. You need more faith. You don't need more struggle with sin. No. You need to go and review your faith. Because once your faith is properly put on Christ, victory comes. Because it tells us that those that trust in him cannot be put to shame. Weymouth put it this way. Weymouth translation. You don't have it, but I read it from here. Does anybody have Weymouth translation? You haven't even heard of it. So I'm going to read it for you. 1 John 5:4, Weymouth. For every child of God overcomes the world, and the victorious principle. Everybody say principle. The victorious principle which has overcome the world is our faith. It says the principle is the principle you employ. And our Lord Jesus Christ talks about this eternal life himself. Let's listen to the Lord talk about eternal life. John 17:2. If you are sitting here and you're really struggling with the pornography, seriously, and you're into pornography and you're sitting here and you're feeling condemned, I want you to relax. The truth will set you free today. Don't struggle with pornography at all. You can't beat it. Forget about it. Just trust the Lord Jesus. He will destroy that. You won't have desire for it again. Can I hear him? If you are sitting here and you have issue with pornography, and you are here, because I was preaching and the Lord stopped me, and you are here. Don't struggle with it. That's what we are preaching. You don't have grace. You can't produce the grace. Let the grace of God do it. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Relax. I'm not better than you. I didn't have pornography, but I was a sinner too, saved by grace. All of us were sinners. So don't feel bad. You're in the right place. You're welcome. You're in my company. Tell people that pastor said you're better than him. I will say, yeah. I'm not better than you. I'm telling you the truth. You think I'm better because you don't know my life. I'm not better than you. There's nobody here I'm better than. In fact, sometimes I say to the Lord, I say, why should I really pastor all these people? They're better than me. So I want you to relax. Enter his rest. Calm down. Calm down. Just calm down. And look to Jesus. And say, Lord, I cannot. I'm not struggling no more. I take these things and what? Put into you. He will take it from you and shatter it to shreds. You will go home and see that you don't have interest in pornography again. If you believe that, shout hallelujah. You want to see his glory? Only believe. You will see Jesus revealed to you as a deliverer. And that's who he is. So we're reading what Jesus said about eternal life. And that is John chapter 17, verse 2. As thou hast given him power. Everybody here that is struggling with something in your life, can I congratulate you today? I want to say congratulations. I mean it. I want to say what? Congratulations. Because you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's very simple. Very, very simple. I was coming down to service, and my beloved daughter was sharing with me how he said, Pastor, remember? You know, I don't remember some things. He said, there's a day you said that somebody is sitting on your position. He said, it was me. He said, it wasn't 1 month. The person was removed and I was put back there. He was just sharing with me. He said, it wasn't 1 month. They moved this person out of the way and they now put me where I should be. And as I remembered, you said that thing sometime back. I'm telling you again today, if you are struggling with anything, rejoice. This is the day of salvation. Somebody shout hallelujah. All I'm begging you to do is relax, stop struggling with it, and start trusting. Trust, look up to Jesus, and all is well. Okay, so Jesus said, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give. You see, he has power over what? All flesh. He came to deal with the sin in the flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. He's the one that gives us this life, verse 3. And this is life eternal. He defines it. That you might know that they might what? Know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. There is no struggle assigned to you and me. There is no struggle assigned to us. Because it's his grace that's making this. It's not us. I want you to tell me the struggle that was assigned to us here in this life. Tell me the struggle assigned to you. There's no struggle. And he knows we are dealing with things, but he came to deal with those things. Can somebody shout hallelujah? And this is eternal life. What is assigned to us is to know God and know Jesus. That's all. That they might know thee, the only true God, and what again? And Jesus Christ, who thou hast sent. Go down to verse 6. He's still explaining this thing. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou what gavest me out of this world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them what? See, God is the one giving. God gave you to Jesus. I'm telling you, without God, you can't do nothing. It's God that gave us to Jesus. You gave them to me. You gave them. You gave them to me. And they have kept what? Their word. Now, let's keep reading. I want you to note something here. Interesting. The next verse. Now, they have, number one, what do they know? That all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. See, I gave them the eternal life. They got this thing because they know me. They have accepted me. They have accepted me. They have accepted me. In accepting me, they have life. And they have known. That's what is assigned to us, is to know. It's not to struggle. It's to know. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are what? Are of thee. For I have given unto them what? The words which thou gavest me. And they have what? Received them. The word of God given to you. Do you receive it? That's the point. Do you know it? Receive them. That's what is assigned to us. And have known surely now. They know me. They have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have what? Believed that thou didst what? Let's read verse 8 again. See what was assigned to us. See how they did it. And Jesus is saying, I've given them eternal life. They have it. I've given them this life. I've given them healing. I've given them freedom. I've given them everything. For I have given unto them the words which thou gave. Remember, I said, the words I speak to me are not mine. And the words I speak to you, they are spirit and life. And they have, what did they do to the word given to them? Receive them. Which ones have I received and which ones have you received as true? They received them. And have known surely now that I came out from thee. This is eternal life. It's not to people who reject the word of God. It's not to people who refuse to believe Jesus Christ. It's not to people who don't want to accept the truth. They know surely now that I came out from thee, and there nothing assigned to them as to what, just believe what I'm telling you. That's all. Then look at what he said in John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, if you continue what? My word. So there has to be a continuation. There has to be a continuation. That's why many Christians have problems. They don't continue. They don't pursue the word. They pursue money, pursue jobs, pursue all these things, and wonder why they crash. There's no continuation. It's not about ritualism. It's not about all those things. It's what is assigned to us is to know. It's to know. It's to pursue to know. To know the truth. Then said Jesus to those, the Jews who believed in him, that is talking to me and you this morning, if you continue in my word, then you are what? My disciples indeed. Bible studies, Sunday school, pursuing the word. I was telling Arno when he came to the wife, with the wife to my office, I said, I live my life as a Christian, pursuing the word. I said, I will burn the midnight oil, you study this word 3 a.m. My wife will tell you. Pursue the word. Pursuing the on purpose, undetermined purpose, pursuing it. Because Paul says something. He said, there is nothing that compares to the knowledge of who? What? Who is your pastor? There is nothing that compares in excellence to the knowledge of who? Christ Jesus. He said, for whom I gave up everything, that I will gain Christ. Nothing compares in excellence. Nothing compares with the knowledge of Jesus. Nothing. Because that knowledge will bring you here. Then verse 4, verse 32. See what that knowledge will do. And you shall know the truth. And what happens? All these sins that so easily befell you, they will crack off. They will just fall off you. They don't fall off because you are making effort. It's not your grace. Because some people come to church, even sit in the church, and they don't hear the truth. They are not interested in it. You know, my son Onyeka said something. He said something, I remember it. He said, I go to churches, and I'm surprised to see people during praise worship, they all, but when the word is coming, that's when they start walking around. See, the most important thing, they're walking around. They place no premium on the truth. They don't pursue it. They don't even to read the Bible. Even to spend time studying this Bible. And I want you to know that the greatest battle you fight is not binding the devil. It's studying the word of God. Try it now. Your flesh will scratch you. People will call you. The devil will remind you your soup hasn't been warmed. Am I telling a lie? And if you start pursuing, he'll give you extra things that benefit you financially and knock you out of what is important. I'm telling you the truth. The devil will do anything to keep you ignorant. Because he knows that the people of God perish for lack of what? So he will keep you in lack of knowledge. And once he keeps you in lack of knowledge, you can imbibe anything, rituals, and think it works. It doesn't work. What was assigned to us is to know God and to know Jesus, his son. Because in knowing him, you build your faith. And your faith is your victory. Your faith is your shield. Your faith brings you into all the graces of God. Every grace of God you receive through faith. Healing, prosperity, everything you receive through faith. Your faith is what you stand by your faith. If your faith is compromised, you are gone. You are gone. You are gone. I was talking about people backsliding. The Lord said to me, said, you know they are sliding back. I said, I never heard it that way. He said, yeah, that's what it means. He said, backsliding means what? Sliding back into the world where there's destruction. God saved us from the destruction and the kingdom of Satan. How can anybody with his good senses slide back into that? So we cannot have victory. We cannot deal with these sins that so easily beset us. And brethren, I tell you the truth. There's not much of the character of the love of Jesus showing in the body of Christ. There's not much of that. People get easily irritated, easily, just try it, my God. Slightest thing, the flesh. The Bible says nobody has seen God at any time. But if we love, then they see God. You know our job is to reveal Jesus to people. Look, if we preach 5% and reveal Jesus 20%, the world will follow him. But we talk a lot of talk, but we don't reveal him. That's what Jesus said in that prayer. He said, I have revealed your name to them. I've revealed who you are to them. They saw you. They've seen you. Paul said to the Galatians, he said, we revealed Jesus to you. You saw him like on the cross. We showed you Jesus. It's not just word. It's unfortunate. Very, very unfortunate. That people are not coming into the kingdom because they're not seeing the beautiful Jesus who he is. There's nobody that sees Jesus who can resist him. He's amazingly loving. Can I hear amen? Read that your Bible and see people trooping after him. The prostitutes, the rejected, the what again? Tax collectors, they were trooping after him. Such a loving Jesus we have. This eternal life is about love of God. And it comes through knowledge. It's manifested through knowledge. Romans 10, 14. Is Obi around? Obi. Chris. Don't worry, Obi will go. We love them. We thank God for Chris and Obi. Can we appreciate them, please? Yeah. These people, they really sacrifice. You don't know what they sacrifice to help us out. A lot. Chris will come from New York from his job. Every day we'll stop by and get things done. Work with contractors. And he has a family also to take care of. We really appreciate God for such people who are serving. Praise the Lord. Romans 10, 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have what? Not believed. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have what? Not heard. And how shall they hear without a? You won't come to Bible studies, won't come to Sunday school, you won't come to nothing. 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 My question is, supposing we pass through this world and we stand before God, what are we going to tell him why we neglected all his word? Tell me, what are we going to tell him? That we have better ideas than him. But he told us to seek my kingdom first. Seek you first what? Kingdom of God. Seek first the word of the kingdom, the life of the kingdom, the things of the kingdom, the king of the kingdom. So the word was given to us, but we may not receive it. We may not believe it. We think we have better ideas. That if it works for you, enjoy yourself. But Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then that's when you begin to know the truth in it. You don't know the truth in it because you just opened it like that. You have to continue seeking it. God will not give you revelation unless it's important to you. He won't show it to you. He says, I don't give my peers to pigs. They will trample upon it. They won't call it anything, so it's not showing you. You can be doing all the religion you are doing, quoting scripture. quoting scripture, you may not be living the scripture you're quoting. It takes more than that. It takes more than quoting scripture. It takes the scripture to be life in you first before it shows outside. It takes more than that. Look at the gospel that was given to us in 1 Corinthians 1:30. God has united you with Christ. This is the New Living Translation. No, there's no light there. No light. They have to turn it on inside. It doesn't have power. Okay. God has united you with who? Christ Jesus. For our benefit. For our benefit, God made him to be what? Wisdom itself. Why? Christ, the wisdom of God. The gospel, the wisdom of God. God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with who? With God. He made us what? Pure and holy. And he freed us from what? Yeah, thank you. Everything is him doing. It's Christ. If you don't believe what he has done for you, you will not experience all this freedom that he's talking about. God has united you with Christ Jesus for our own benefit. So we live this life, this new life that is free of sin, this new life that is blessed, this new life that is blessed in the body. For David said that he filled my mouth with what? Good things. I renew my youth like, he's talking about the blessing of the body. Blessing of the body. Blessing of the body. Blessing of the body. It's not just spirit, but blessing of the body. Jesus brought us the fullness of divine kingdom so that we enjoy the fullness of kingdom of God right here on earth before we even go to heaven. We are supposed to enjoy all of it right here before we go to heaven. So God did this for our own benefit. For our own benefit. And he made him wisdom. Why is he wisdom? So we can listen to him and follow his word and follow what he's teaching us. Christ made us right with God. We didn't make ourselves right. He did it by his blood. He did it by his sacrifice. That's why Paul said, I can't boast in anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He made us pure and holy. He sanctifies us. Christ is our sanctification. Christ freed me from sin, freed you from sin. Who has believed our report? So that the power of God will be revealed in the life of such a person. That's why Jesus said the eternal life is for them to know God and know me. When they know me, they know that I'm their deliverer. I made them pure. I made them holy. I set them free. I gave them a new life. I blessed them and I took away their iniquities and bore the cost of their sins. If they know me as their deliverer, their Lord, their Savior, then the reality of everything will cue into their life and begin to manifest outside. I will close with what David said. Oh, okay. See what David said. See what David said. I think it's in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 from verse 4. When people walk, their wages are not a gift. Romans 4:4. When people walk, their wages are not. So when you walk for the things of God, it's no more a gift. It's no more grace. But something they have earned. Verse 5. But people are counted as righteous. People are counted as what? Righteous. Not because of their walk. Otherwise, it will no more be gift. But because of their faith in God who forgives sinners. Then David continued. I want to show you something here. David also spoke of this, when he described the happiness or the blessedness of those who are declared righteous without working for it. So those who accept, remember what Jesus said? I gave them your word. They accepted it. They received it. They believe it. They believe it. Those who have believed that Christ is their righteousness. Those who believe that Jesus is their righteousness, not their works. Those who believe. Look at what David said about them in verse 7. Oh, what joy to those whose disobedience is, number one, forgiven. Whose sins are put out of sight. Continue. Yes, what joy for those who record the Lord has what? Cleared of sin. Why? The blood of Jesus cleanses us of all unrighteousness. And Christ has become our. Can I read it in New King James Version or King James Version? Let's benefit King James Version people. They are dwindling in number. I think there are only four of them in this church. Are they up to five? Okay, only five. There are only five. Romans 4:4, King James. Okay, New King James better. We are just loving you now. You should appreciate that. Now, to him who walks, the wages are not counted as grace, but as death. But to him who does not walk, but believes on him who justified the ungodly, his faith is what? Accounted for righteousness. Just as David also described the blessedness, the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from work. A man who does not accept this righteousness of God rejects all his blessings. Rejects all of it. You cannot enter that blessing without the righteousness that Christ is giving. You make your boast only in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness. God has made him righteousness for us. God said, I have sworn. Only in the Lord will the man find righteousness. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Only in the Lord we have nothing to boast of. The blessedness belongs to those upon whom God imputes righteousness. But if you say, I don't accept it, you reject the blessedness. All of it. But that's called humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God when you receive the word of God. Now let's go and read Romans 5. I think I'll stop with that. Romans 5, verse 16. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different. Remember, it's a gift of grace. The result is very different. Look at the benefit. You say, God did this for our own benefit. Look at the benefit that the Spirit of God is showing us now. The result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to what? Condemnation. But God's free gift leads to our being made right with God. Even though we are guilty of many sins. Let's continue. Because if you stop here, I say, Pastor, this will make us commit sin. No, no, no. See the benefit. See the benefit in verse 17. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule what? Over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of for all who receive it. Remember what Jesus said. I gave them your word. They received it. That's what is assigned to us. Who receive it, we live what? I didn't hear you. We live what? We live what? Over what? Over what? And what again? That's how you overcome all these things that easily beset us. It's not by further struggle, no. No, no, no. It wasn't assigned to us because you are not a match to those things. You are not a match to them. If you are a match to them, or you would have stopped them since now, you didn't want them now, but they're overcoming you all the time. Doesn't that teach you that you don't have anything except Christ who can overcome it for you? For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace. That's what Paul said. And what I am, by what? Grace of God. And his gift of righteousness for all who... Are you still here? For all who we live in triumph over what? So for all who don't receive it, they will not live in triumph over sin. Not going to happen. That's why the Bible said this was done for our benefit. So that all these sins that so easily beset us, when Paul says, I put my body under, you know what Paul is saying. He said, I can do all things through Christ. That's what he's talking about. You have to receive the righteousness, because if you don't receive the righteousness of God, you are rejecting what Christ died for to give you for your own benefit. You can't reign over sin. I don't care how you struggle. And then to prove it to you, haven't you been struggling for years? The same thing they knew you before you got saved, they still know you are with it. So when will this change come? Simply trust in the Lord with all your heart. Relax. Take his righteousness and say, Lord, you are my righteousness. It's humility to accept for once that we don't have anything to present. It's humility. And say to God, you are my righteousness. You made me a new creature. You gave me a new life. That new life is not what I used to be. It's your own life. And only you can make it manifest. I trust you with my life. That's what it means to surrender your life to Jesus. And then he will make you what you should be. It's not by power. It's not by might. It's not by struggle. It's not by all of those things. It's by faith.